In the past 29 years, I have done a lot of funerals, which means, among other things, that I have been in a lot of funeral processions, the long line of cars that follow the hearse from the church to the graveyard. You know, like the funeral is over, the cars line up to go to the cemetery for the burial following the service. That's a funeral procession. The most interesting thing is to watch the cars. You can learn a lot about human nature by watching all the cars that are in and around a funeral procession. The first group are the cars who are just untroubled. Untroubled. You see these cars going the opposite direction from the procession. They are the cars in the lanes going the opposite way, coming towards you as you sit in the limo. The untroubled drivers do not react in any way as they pass. They do not react in any way to the reality that the procession follows a hearse, which means that someone's mother, brother, sister has died. These drivers are going about their business, going about their lives, untroubled that someone is dead. Untroubled. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven into one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "It would be a shame to tear it. Let's cast lots to see who will get it." Untroubled. More concerned about not ripping a nice tunic than the fact that a soul is being ripped from life. The soldiers are untroubled by the death of Jesus. The second category of cars are the ones that are annoyed. Now, these are most often the cars that are stuck behind the procession. I have seen every driving stunt that is possible, from the annoyed cars that just want to get around the line, which is moving so slowly. They can't stand to be slowed down. They can't stand to be put out. They're annoyed. Annoyed that someone else's tragedy has inconvenienced them. Annoyed. Then the chief priests took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and be unable to eat the Passover. So Pilate had to go out to them. Annoyed. The authorities were annoyed that dealing with this rebel, this troublemaker, meant that they had to cross paths with Pilate. They hated him. And if they so much as set a toe into his imperial residence, they would be unclean and would be prohibited from eating the Passover supper. The chief priests were more concerned about their next meal than the fate of the innocent man whom they are contriving to have crucified. The chief priests are annoyed that Jesus has spoiled their status quo. The next cars are guarded. Maybe a little aloof, guarded. Now, they are actually part of the procession. They are in it, but way back toward the back, many cars behind the limo. The person who died was a second cousin. They didn't really know her. They don't really feel that connected. They don't want to let the grief in. So they stay a little guarded, a little protected. They flip the channels on the XM radio as they follow the lead car to the cemetery. Guarded. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" And he said, "I am not." Later, as Simon Peter was standing warming himself by the fire, they asked him again, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Didn't I see you in the garden with him?" And again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, the cock crowed. Guarded. Peter is part of it, but he doesn't want to be. He is guarded mostly out of fear. Fear for the fate of Jesus, but maybe mostly fear for his own well-being. Peter will follow Jesus to the cross, but not too closely, not too close for comfort. He is guarded. Finally, in the procession, you reach the lead car, where people are grieving. Grieving. Now, a limo is the lead car in a funeral procession, and it carries the widow, the children, the sister, whoever may be closest to the deceased. For them, this death is real, and it is terrible. The folks in the lead car are shocked and crying, grieving. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." Grieving. For the most part, it was the women who were grieving at the death of Christ. John was there too. Probably it would have been impossible, even shameful, for him to abandon the women who wanted to stay, who had to stay, who could not bear to leave their Lord. Among this group, there was not a dry eye, not an intact heart, all broken, all miserable, all grieving. Untroubled, annoyed, guarded, grieving. In a funeral procession, there are four distinct reactions to death, as there are four distinct reactions in the gospel to the actual day of Christ's passion and an agonizing death. Tonight, I want to point out that there are also the same four distinct reactions to Good Friday. Some are untroubled by Good Friday, by the death of Christ. All around us today, people are going about their ordinary lives in an ordinary way. They are untroubled that today is Good Friday, that today is the day we remember the passion of our Lord. Some do not know the story of Christ. Some do not care. Some have just decided they are too busy to pay attention. On Good Friday, many are untroubled. Some people are annoyed on Good Friday. Increasingly in our society, there are those who are antagonistic, most often feeling guilty or threatened, but for whatever reasons, antagonistic to those who have faith. To them, the remembrance that we experience on Good Friday is an annoyance. They don't want to hear about a Savior, don't want to hear that they need a Savior. And mostly, more than anything, they just want to be left alone. Many of these folks are annoyed on Good Friday. Many more people, even people of good faith, are guarded on Good Friday. Sometimes, some years, you just don't want to get too close. You don't want to let the grief in. You recognize Good Friday, maybe even come to church, but still, somehow, you keep your distance. You remain guarded on Good Friday. A few people really grieve on Good Friday. A few people have, as we say, walked the way of the cross this week. A few of us here have really let the reality of what our Lord has done get hold in our thoughts and prayers. For myself, I have to say that some years I get there and some years I don't. Sometimes I grieve as I feel I should. Some years I am a little too guarded to get all the way there. So I suppose you might expect me to say something like we should all be grieving the death of Christ on Good Friday. You might expect me to say that the right thing to do is to get yourself into the lead car in the procession. And that may be true, but it is my long-standing practice not to talk about us on Good Friday at all. It is my long-standing practice to focus on Christ instead. Maybe through Lent we should get ourselves into the lead car. Maybe it is our obligation. Maybe it's the least we can do. But here is the thing that I know for sure. Christ died for everyone in every car. There is not one single person, no matter who and where they may be, for whom Christ was not offering his life to save theirs. There is no one for whom Christ was not giving up himself to death. In the funeral procession that we find ourselves in tonight, the one who died is near every car. And whether you are untroubled annoyed, guarded, or grieving, Christ died for you. Christ died for the soldiers who cast lot for his clothes. He sacrificed himself for the authorities who believed that it was they who sent him to the cross. He died for poor Peter, who denied Christ before he found the strength to proclaim him. And he died for the women who were grieving. Christ died that we might live. So if you were to ask me what you should be feeling or experiencing on Good Friday, I can't really tell you. I don't know what car you are in. But even if I did know, even if you think you know where you really are, I think I'd say forget it. Doesn't matter that much where you are on Good Friday. The only thing that Good Friday is really about is where Jesus is. On the cross, clearing the highway that leads all of us back to the Father.